Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Yeah, like an hour earlier than we initially intended because major breaking Vikings news to start this Feedback Friday session live on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. Let's just get to the news. We'll talk about Quick Trip later, Judd. We love Quick Trip. Thank you for presenting Feedback Friday. But according to Ian Rapoport, Rap Sheet, and Declan and I both did the same thing. We saw this tweet come across. We're like, okay, is this the real Rap Sheet? Is this one of those where they replace the capital I with a lowercase L and has like an underscore?
It's a money sign for the S in Rap Sheet, yeah. You know? Like, I was like, oh, God, please tell me I'm not getting duped here.
But it is Ian Rapoport's real account here, and I'll just read it. A draft trade. The Minnesota Vikings and Houston Texans have agreed to terms on a major deal in advance of the draft, according to me and Tom Pelissero, landing the Vikings a second first-round pick. Mm-hmm. So the Vikings get the 23rd overall pick from the Texans, and they get like a seventh rounder, the 232. I'm guessing that's a seventh rounder, right?
It is.
Maybe like a yep. sixth rounder. Okay.
Nope, seventh.
And then Houston gets the Vikings' second round pick, the 42, the 188. I'm trying to do math on the fly. Is that a fourth or a fifth round pick, the 188, Judd?
Six.
A sixth round pick. It's basically pretty much nothing. And a 2025 second rounder. So the Vikings move up from this year's draft from 42 to 23. They move up 19 spots. The 232 and the 188, who gives a rip? Those are pretty much the same. But they give up a future second rounder to move up that high. What are your thoughts? We do have the draft value chart, so we'll do some live math. I know you guys are very excited, audience, for us to do live math to see if they got fleeced. But they get a second first-round pick. What are your thoughts?
To quote the old TV show, The Jeffersons, well, we're moving on up, because this team is moving up. So despite what Kwesi said, and we all knew that he has to say it, we dissected this in our Viking press conference show that we did yesterday afternoon, but this is what you have to do. Like, they have to get up to get a quarterback, and I think we've all been curious about, like, okay, swap your first-round pick, trade another first-round, right? But this now puts you in prime position, because if you think the Vikings are picking at 11 and 23, believe me, that is a worst case scenario. They are packaging 11 and 23 and perhaps something else to get as high as they possibly have to. The only question is now is what are they positioning themselves for in terms of quarterbacks? Are we still talking the land of J.J. McCarthy? Are we talking Drake May, who I've heard that they like a lot? So I think the only question is when we are sitting there at the Fillmore, April 25th, packed house, draft party, when will the Vikings attempt to pull the trigger to get up? My guess is that they'll have contingency. Oh, look at that. Nice New York
style. I'm trying to find the right lighting here, and it's just kind of...
You need the front lighting. Sorry. I've learned. I know this. You got to have the front lighting.
It's like I could turn and do the front lighting, but then I'd be sitting like backwards on a couch, and there's no chair in here. So it's just... I'm in a hotel room in New York City right now.
It looks like... I mean, just from my brief view, sort of a hostile environment, not a hostile environment.
Can I just say
a small room?
Real quick, that I'm not used to, like, you know, you open your window and then there's just like other people's windows.
That's New York.
Going up 20 stories that you can like reach out and touch them.
Yeah.
And I may or may not have forgotten about that while taking a pregame leak here about 10 minutes ago.
Oh,
so
no.
Just, you
know, it's New
happy
York.
To give,
you
happy to give
right
you a
in.
Show, everyone.
You fit right in. But anyway, so yes, the Vikings are going to somehow take 11 and 23 and perhaps something else and package them. This is why we talked about this, you guys. At the end of the season, we all said we are so excited for what this offseason is going to bring, right? Because you're going to get stuff like this. So I am very encouraged right now by what this team is doing. I like the moving. I like the shaking. I like the moving on from certain vets who we shall not name. But this, to me, clearly positions you now for a draft night trade to go where you have to go. And I will say the unknown, in my opinion, is who is the quarterback? Like, who have they identified?
I want to give credit to, because we will get into a feedback Friday here, and there's a lot of, and some of the feedback is going to be changing now because we stockpiled questions before this news came down. But I want to give credit to one of our favorite feedback emailers, Alex Pichetti. And Alex, about once every week or two, I would say like twice a month, Alex will send just a banger email. And usually it's him hating on Kirk Cousins, but he brings up a lot of good points. He emailed this morning on Feedback Friday, or it might have been yesterday. And he said, would it actually be cheaper if the Vikings are trying to go up from like 11 to 3? Would it be cheaper to do it in two installments? Like if you were to approach the Falcons at 8 again and say, let's go from 11 to 8 and whatever that cost would be. And then go from 8 to 3 and whatever that cost would be. It's like sometimes you guys ever do this where you're trying to figure out the cheapest way to fly somewhere round trip.
Yeah.
And it's actually cheaper sometimes to buy 2 one-way tickets as opposed to one round trip.
Yeah.
I've done that. And then I ended up accidentally stuck in Chicago because I bought 2 one-way tickets from the same airplane. But yes, it is cheaper. I have done this before. Yes.
Oh, crap. We traded up. Then we traded back. No. Now we're just back at 11. That's kind of what this, now it's a little bit different because they're moving from 42 up to 23, but is it cheaper to go from 42 to 23 and then package the new assets to go up to like 3 than it would be to take your assets before this trade? And we won't know until and if they make the move up. But all we know is Kwesi's been cooking this week.
Yeah.
Drew a line in the sand on Kirk, brought in a bunch of new defensive players, brought in Aaron Jones, makes the move up. Sam Darnold comes in, makes the move up from 42 to 23. So, man, they've got their sights set on something big right now, boys.
Go ahead, Dexter.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I think they could obviously do it in a couple different ways, kind of like Alex pointed out, or these could be the main ammunition chips to just get up to number 4. Now, can you go? No, 4 or 3. Can you go, though, from pick 3 or 4 and not have a draft pick until night 3 of the draft? Because that's where they're heading, right? They just traded their second-round pick. So they wouldn't have a pick for the rest of the draft until day 3. But that might be the price of poker if they really like one of these quarterbacks. And also, as Colin Cowherd said, this apartment is furnished, baby. Like, you don't necessarily need a ton of new assets that have to come in immediately in this draft from the second or third rounds. You have your 2 tackles, you have a star wide receiver, you got a brand new running back, your defense is overhauled. So as much as it would be nice to obviously still have a second round pick or even obviously find a way to get back in the third round, I don't think it's that big of a death sentence to not have a day two pick at this point if that's what they're planning to do.
I think what this does is it provides comfortable flexibility, right? Because, like, you don't have to move up, but it certainly looks like you're positioning yourself to move up. I also think it's interesting to note that when you look at what they have done free agency-wise, they've added three guys on defense, two guys that can rush the passer, and a linebacker who are relatively young. And so, like, you'd still like to get – you still need a defensive tackle. You still would like another corner for sure, and it would be nice if it's a good one. And by the way, I don't know that these guys are done yet. Like, this is a clear indication, again, that there is a lot of moving and shaking transpiring here. But I think it's worth not having, potentially, not having a day two pick if you can fill the quarterback need and you are and you're confident you've got it right. So if it's Bo Nix, hey, we're going to take Bo Nix at 23 because we didn't move up. Then I'm like, oh, okay, let's see how that goes. I don't know about that. but if they, you know, but if they package 11 at 23 into what Declan's saying, now they don't have a day two pick, so no second or third round pick. But you take one of those top four, one of those big four QBs. Kevin O'Connell's happy. Brian Flores happy. And you know, I still think, we got to keep in mind, as exciting as this is all part of a process. And part of that process is, in March of 2025, you're going to be flush with cash. Like, we need to keep in mind that this might be a little bit of a gradual thing where the real icing on the cake comes free agency a year from now when you have a lot of cash to spend.
I'm doing the math right now, by the way, on the Rich Hill chart. So there's the Rich Hill chart. There's the Belichick chart.
Rich Hill does everything. I mean, that guy's been pitching forever.
I know.
Has time to come crazy, up with a man. Chart.
Guy's crazy, man.
Swears all the time on the mound.
So the 40s. So just to clarify, it's the 23 and the 232 this year. So that's 247 points from the Rich Hill chart. And then the 42nd pick would be 142 points. The 188 would be only 6 points. So that would be 148. What's like a few? How do we classify a future second round pick?
Third round pick. It's the value of a third round pick. A future second has the value of a third.
So we'll call it 60 points on the draft value chart. So that means the Vikings are obtaining 247 points, right, and they are giving up, according to the Rich Hill chart, only 208 points. So if I'm reading this right, the Vikings are getting 247 points.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving up 208 points, which means they fleeced the Texans, right?
I think so. Tyler Fornes also doing the math, who's, I think, a lot smarter than us in math. I don't know. I never know who's going to go with football math.
Let's not give him too much credit. Correct. I think he's smart in football math.
So I'm not talking geometry.
That's all that matters right now.
If this was rocket science, Tyler's lost.
Yeah. Tyler said the Vikings gained the value of the 92nd overall pick, 43 points in the Rich Hill trade chart. So, yes, they come out positive, and Kwesi is cooking here.
Okay.
Now, in the Rich Garces chart that I just checked out, they're not doing well at all.
The Old Testament?
Which one are we looking at? The new Trade Value Testament?
Yeah.
What did they use back in, like, the George Halas days? Yeah. Did they have a trade value chart
they
back
used
in the
go 1940s? Bleep yourself chart. I bought you a drink last night. Give me your first round pick.
So, yeah, we're monitoring the comment section here. The Vikings now have two first round picks and right now, no second day picks, so we'll see how that goes. They could trade back into the second round at some point. Maybe, I don't know. There's a number of things they could do. Kwesi loves to trade. We know that for sure. Mm-hmm.
Jordan Reed pointing out, too, that even though the Vikings giving up next year's second, they are gaining at least a few comp picks from this year's free agents that have left. So they'll actually have a few comp round picks in the third round of next year's draft. So losing next year's second round pick, not as big of a deal.
That's probably not true, though, because the comp formula is players out, players in. So just because Danielle Hunter signed with the Texans doesn't mean, because the Vikings got Jonathan Grenard and they got Andrew Van Ginkel. So the Vikings aren't guaranteed to get a third round comp pick. They might still get a comp pick, but I think a third round comp pick would be like you lose a huge free agent and you don't replace anywhere near that level of free agent, right?
Yeah, I actually saw this tweeted a couple of days ago. With where things currently stand, they wouldn't get a comp pick, but there's still a couple more players that they could potentially lose, which would give them a comp pick. The problem is there's no formula that anybody knows. Yeah. The league won't tell you what the formula is. Yeah. So like we can spitball here. I think at the end of the day, so KJ Osborne is not signed yet, and I think there's another free agent.
Dalton Risner.
Yeah. So if those two leave, I think you can get a comp pick. I don't know, it's a third rounder, but again, it's something, as this trade shows, you want picks to play with. And I think it was about 4 or 5 years back, they freed up comp picks to be traded. Because previously you couldn't trade those picks.
Yeah.
So you had them, but you couldn't trade them. Now you can. But I just think that this shows the Vikings' willingness now, and it's, dare I say, the dawn of a new era for the Vikings. This shows their willingness to not just trade, because Spielman traded, but to make trades with an eye towards forming the roster that they want.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And we don't. That's the thing. Like, we're seeing. This is the first time that that these guys have essentially just been cut loose to do whatever they want. Right? By these guys, I mostly mean Kwesi, because Kwesi was sort of, all right, we're going to hire you. It's your first ever shot at being a GM. We've got some parameters. I don't think Kwesi was the one pounding on the table to keep Kirk Cousins, because at every step of the way, the last 2 years, he has hedged before saying yes, we love him, all in. There was always conditions, right? So we'll see. We were actually going to lead Feedback Friday. We've gotten a ton of Justin Herbert questions, but here's just on the fly. We're going to call an audible. We're gonna answer your Justin Herbert questions, because there's a fire sale happening right now with the Chargers. They just traded Keenan Allen. Mike Williams gone. Like, they've got some cap problems too. Let's devote the Saturday checkdown episode to answering the Justin Herbert reckless speculation. Yeah. And we can get to some other stuff in Feedback Friday, if that works for you guys.
Absolutely. So I think one thing to point out here, though, is if Vikings do indeed leverage picks 11, 23, and let's say one more to get up into, I don't know, let's say the top three. Like this trade to me looks like it's setting up for the Patriots. Patriots need a ton of help. The Patriots need a ton of help. And I'm not saying you don't want your quarterback of the future, but at some point in time, the bill comes due to just you talk about rebuilding a team, right? Like, it's my opinion, the Vikings are not doing that. They are resetting things, which is fine. But they're not, like, this is not a blow up. I know Kirk has left, but that does not mean that you go into the locker room and say, this is it, guys. They sort of started to retool last year. I think the Patriots are in a perfect position with Belichick gone now to say, let's blow this thing sky high. Let's get as many picks, high picks as we possibly can, and let's start to fill in the depth. And we will figure out the quarterback when we're far more down the road for that piece to be absolutely key, which the Vikings are far closer to that point.
Yeah.
So I think this sets up really well for a potential Patriots trade. And I just want to put one thing to rest here, because I see the panic is still continued. And I it's fun to panic about this, but I think we should, sports dad, calm the folks down. Justin Jefferson, okay? Which I still think comes down to financials. Like, I think that's 1A and 1B. And does he care about who his teammates are and the quarterback? Sure, he cares. Everybody cares. That hasn't stopped a lot of guys from signing. But if the Vikings get the third pick and take a quarterback, which they certainly would, can we calm down about, well, Justin Jefferson's leaving now. He doesn't want to be here. Can we just put that, if this is turning out, like, they're probably telling Jefferson exactly what I'm saying here, which is, dude, chill.
You can say all that, but the first feedback question has a very specific Justin Jefferson trade proposal that we are going to get to here. After you shout out our friends at Quick Trip, convenience store and gas station here on Purple
Quick Daily. Trip, right? You talk about the Vikings retooling, trying to get draft picks. Guess what? Your first round draft pick, it's as simple as this, and you don't want to trade it. It's Quick Trip. Right there, you're looking at the delicious meals. And yes, I said meals. If you want a snack, yes, Quick Trip's got that. They've got the quality gas guarantee. But you're looking at the pizzas there. I want to talk to you about the chicken. And it's not just one style of chicken. It's fried chicken. It's chicken tenders. It's roasted whole chicken. I'm going to put their chicken mano a mano with any of the competition. That means Quick Trip, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. In fact, if you're driving home tonight, you're like, I got to get home. I got to watch the shows. I got to see what's going on with the Vikings. Then guess what? Quick Trip is where you want to pick up your dinner. We're talking 3 or 8 piece chicken tenders, 2 or 8 piece fried chicken, bone in, boneless wings. Delicious. And it's all at Quick Trip.
Amen. So here's the first feedback question. And Judd just segued right into it here. Judd's like, hey, everyone needs to calm down on the Justin Jefferson thing. Well, Jason from Iowa and a bunch of other Purple Daily listeners have noted some of the Jefferson Bengals steam that's been floating around the last 24 hours. And so I love messages that start with this. Jason says, my cousin's husband sent me a reckless speculation trade idea.
Ferris Bueller. My cousin's husband's brother's sister told me that Ferris is sick.
He screenshotted a hypothetical Bengals-Vikings trade proposal from his cousin's husband, right? So here's what, and there's another one too. He said he saw on Facebook. So here's a couple things. T. Higgins has requested a trade. Again, I'm reading this from Jason's cousin's husband screenshot of a text. That's the territory we're in right now on Feedback Friday. T. Higgins requested a trade from Cincinnati. The Bengals have the 18th pick in the first round. Could you trade Justin Jefferson to Cincinnati for T. Higgins, the 18th overall pick, a second round pick, and maybe a future? This is getting to be a lot of things to send to the Bengals here, but you are getting T. Higgins back too. And then you could package something to move up. Obviously, he sent this before the Vikings grabbed the 23, but Tyler Eifert, former Bengals tight end, he tweeted yesterday, sources are telling me Jefferson to Cincinnati is in motion. Eyeball emojis. What do you think of this? I know, Judd, you just went on a monologue there and told people to calm down, but Tyler Eifert has people in the building. He played for Cincinnati, and he's saying, I'm hearing these discussions are very real. Jamar Chase put out kind of a cryptic tweet a couple days ago.
Okay. I got one question. And yes, the salary cap's gone up, but it's still a salary cap league. You're paying Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase wants probably more. Like, he's dying to see the Jefferson contract.
They would do the Suter-Parisi thing and sign the exact same contract.
It would be absolutely crazy, though. Like, at some point in time, you're just going to run out of money to fill in a good team. So, Tyler, I mean, he did play for him. You're right, but I'm hard pressed to believe. Now, if this comes down to money and the Bengals are like, we're all in, we're going to pay everybody, we're going to pay Burrow, and we're going to get the LSU guys back together, and the Vikings are like, whoa, 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 we're not going to do that. We're not going to pay him $36 million. We're not going to exceed the Nick Bosa contract. Then we can talk about it. My main point is calm down about the whole quarterback thing, because if they draft Jaden Daniels, if the Vikings like trade up and get Jaden Daniels, Justin Jefferson's problem is not going to be the quarterback. But yeah, I mean, there is something going on here, I think, and I think it's largely financial. And I think the Vikings probably have not met what Justin Jefferson wants financially yet. So that could take this into a stratosphere of Kwesi, who clearly drawing some lines in the sand now, gentlemen.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't think if Justin Jefferson gets traded to the Bengals, his press conference is going to start with, when Kirk Cousins left, my heart left Minnesota.
But would you, just for fun here, okay, let me take this, because I think let me get the names right here. Jason's cousin's husband, I feel like, is a little aggressive with what the return would be. Let's say that the Bengals steam is real. And let's say it would be Vikings get 25-year-old T. Higgins. You'd have to pay him, but you wouldn't pay him as much as Justin Jefferson is going to command, right? He's a good, solid number two wide receiver that you would pair with Jordan Addison, who's a good, solid B-plus receiver right now. So you get 25-year-old T. Higgins, less money than J.J. You get the number 18 overall pick, and maybe you get your future second-round pick back that you traded to the Texans. And the Bengals would get Justin bleeping Jefferson. So now you'd have T. Higgins, you'd have 3 first round picks this year, 18, you'd have 11, 18, and 23. Does that move the needle at all for you guys?
Go ahead, Declan.
The only thing I don't love is just the fact of Jefferson is going to be playing with, in my opinion, the best quarterback that's not named Patrick Mahomes. So, like, the thought process of watching, you know, if they were to trade Justin Jefferson, I feel like that's Moss going with Tom Brady and lighting it up for the next generation, which is hard to swallow. Because value-wise, it does make, like, that return that's laid out here from the uncles, cousins, brother-in-laws situation, that does make sense for the Vikings because they would be able to at least supplement a lesser wide receiver, but a good wide receiver. You get draft picks back, you get cap flexibility back. But for me, I couldn't handle watching Justin Jefferson tear it up with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Couldn't handle it. So I'm out on the trade.
If he's not going to sign, if he wants a payday that you can't stomach, that's a really good trade. So yeah. So if he's like, you know what, I want it, because here's the one thing we don't know. We don't know what he's asking for. I will say that. And, you know, clearly at some point in time, you might say, dude, you are unbelievable, but we're not going to pay you that. We can't. You're a receiver. You don't even control how you get the football. Like, it's not like you start off with the ball in your hands. So if that trade is available and you're not, and you think that you've reached a point with Jefferson where it's beyond repair as far as the contract goes, I think that's more than you would actually get because Higgins is being thrown in to the trade. Yeah. But if I was offered that, to answer your question, yeah, I'd take that.
I am most interested in Justin Jefferson as a Viking helping to elevate whoever they draft. If they move up, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, I think having the infrastructure that includes Justin Jefferson is going to only elevate. I mean, look at Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was a 7th-round draft pick who got to sit in that offense with Ayuk and Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey. Like, having crazy weapons all over the place is going to make your quarterback so much better right out of the gate. If, to Judd's point, if they just reach a point here where either Jefferson is, he just doesn't want to play here anymore because, oh, he's already gotten a sniff of the Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase conversations, or if it's just not feasible to give him $36 or $37 million a year, which, by the way, the contract he turned down, according to Adam Schefter, for, let's call it, just over $30 million a year, if you took that as a percentage of the cap from the beginning of last year, the cap went up by $30 million. And you say, okay, he's going to take that percentage or higher to say yes on a new deal, it would be like $36 or $37 million a year for him. If that just becomes unworkable, or JJ says, you know what, I'm not, you know, I like these young quarterbacks, but I don't want a young quarterback in this juncture of my career. Then, like, if you're getting T. Higgins back and a first round pick and something else, these are just sort of hypothetical,
right,
trade conversations from text messages from, right, listeners, but super interesting. Okay, let's keep going here. Feedback Friday. By the way, there's like 4,000 of you hanging out with us live right now on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. Just a Friday morning, breaking Vikings news. They land the 23rd overall pick, if you're just jumping in, from the Houston Texans. So the trade is Vikings get the 23, and they get the 232. They give up this year's second-round pick, and then a 6th-round pick this year, plus next year's second-round pick. The draft value charts do like this trade for the Vikings, but they now have 2 first-round picks leading into the draft. Let's go to Colin Leary, who's multitasking right now. He's emailing Feedback Friday. I see him in the comment section right now, too, on YouTube. Colin's everywhere. He says, should the Vikings be afraid that the Broncos could trade up and jump them, considering the Broncos' cap situation and the amount they could pay for a quarterback at 5 versus number 12? Even independent of that, the Broncos are a team that needs a starting quarterback. You could say that the Giants, I know they brought in Drew Locke as kind of a 1B, but which teams are you fearing the most in this sort of this game of who's going to pay the most to jump up?
I guess I'm fearing, and I'm most curious about the Arizona Cardinals with the 4 pick and what they're going to do. Are they locked into 4? Because, you know, that gives you I would guess Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And they need that. They desperately need that. So I think it would be Denver first. I think the Giants definitely could move up. But as of yesterday, when we were talking, and I was thinking more along the lines of, would the Vikings try and get up to five? And Thor Nystrom, in his Mock 1.0, which is now out at Fantasy Pros, has the Vikings going to five with the Chargers and taking McCarthy at five. But then the question is, to what the person just said there, is do the Broncos jump the Vikings at five and get the Cardinals pick at four? I think this trade today changes my thought process completely as far as what the Vikings are doing. I think the Vikings are going top three hunting. I think I think you're out there big game hunting by Kwesi right now. So I think my notion of yesterday, I think that's probably gone. The Vikings probably fear exactly what was brought up there. But if you get to three, like if you get the Patriots pick, I don't think the Broncos are going to get Washington's pick. What Washington is going to take a quarterback. I think they're locked in to take one. Then the question becomes the Bears. But until we get evidence that Caleb Williams is not their guy, I think I'm pretty confident of that. So I think that today's news from Rap Sheet and Pelissero changes the dynamic of where the Vikings want to go to get a quarterback, and I think it's the third pick.
Can we do the draft? Oh, go ahead, Dex. Then we'll do some more math after this.
So with the Patriots, if they were, let's just say the Vikings said, we'll give you 11 and 23. Maybe we can do the math right now on that. Maybe that was our transition.
We're tracking here. Yes.
So if they did that, the Patriots would have picks 11, 23, 34. So they could still replenish their roster, still maybe sneak in a Michael Penix at 34 or at 20. Like, everyone's like, well, they need to score points and they need a quarterback. They gave away Mac Jones. Absolutely. They need a quarterback. No one's saying they don't need a quarterback, but they hired Jerod Mayo. And I feel like Jerod Mayo is going to want to build that thing back up slowly. He's not looking to take a franchise changing quarterback right away. They need a quarterback for sure. But that, if I'm the Patriots fan and I had three picks in the first 34 selections, one of those three will still be a quarterback, most likely. So it would make sense from a Patriots standpoint to go back.
Okay, so here's kind of the crazy thing. I'm on the Rich Hill draft value chart right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you offered the 11 and the 23 to get up to three, the 11 plus the 23 would be just over 600 draft value chart points. So keep that in your head. The Vikings would be giving up 600 points. Now, this doesn't account, too, for, like, the inflation of if there's three teams trying to make that same move, the Patriots can be like, all right, highest bidder, right? Mm-hmm. If it's a seller's market. The three is worth 514. So the Vikings would actually be giving out almost 100 more points than they'd be getting back. So you could, if they're going off the draft value chart, you could say the 11 and the 23 for the three and something else. Like, you could actually ask the Patriots for, like, a third-round pick back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah?
In which case, so let's say it. Let's say they kick back a third-round pick or maybe, like, a fourth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's a fourth just per, you know, tax purposes.
They have Patriots, by the way, the 68th and the 103rd. I don't know if that helps you. The 68th being a third and a 103 being a fourth.
Let's say it's the 103 because you're probably going to get fleeced a little on this trade if the Broncos are trying to do it and the Giants or somebody else. So in that case, you'd be giving up, when you include this Texans trade, you'd be giving up the 11. So you'd be giving up your first round pick this year, obviously, to move up. The 42. Next year's second to go up to three. That like when you account for all the moves they made, like to get the 23, you'd be swapping three for 11. Mm-hmm. Plus the 42, plus next year's second. So you'd essentially be doing this without giving up a future first-round pick.
Yeah.
Going from 11 to 3. It is the two one-way tickets is cheaper than a round trip, which isn't always the case, but, like, that's what they're trying to do here, right?
Yeah, you're flying on two separate airlines, dude. That's the way to cheat the system, too, with the one-way tickets. You're flying Delta the way out. Like, oh, this is great. All right. I might fly out Sun Country back, which is great, by the way. I love Sun Country. Sun Country may be a proud sponsor of Purple Daily and Score North. We will love to fly on Sun Country. But that's the way to do it. You fly out on two separate airlines to get away from the round trip. And if they can fleece a trade without giving up next year's one or future ones, right? My God, like that is the definition of Kwesi, you know, hibachi cooking right now. This is incredible.
So if it's Denver and the Giants, though, like let's say that they're after that. And so now the draft, the chart goes out the window a bit because it's a quarterback. I think that's where it gets to be like, I think that's where it takes it up from, hey, this is what the draft chart said, to who's going to bid, like who wants, like, because if the Broncos are like, you know what, screw it, we don't care, we're going up. And plus, the Broncos with a rookie quarterback, 5 years control, now your cap is not hemorrhaging as much, and it's already in trouble because of Russ. That's where I think you probably can't go into this with an eye on winning the trade. You have to go into it with an eye on just getting it done.
Yeah, but you could still win the trade if you... That's the thing. Like, do you think it would... Just knowing what you know about draft trades, do you think it would cost a lot more than the 11 and the 23 to get the number 3 pick?
I think you'd have to throw in... I think you'd have to put in something else. I don't think it would necessarily... I don't think it would be your 1 in 2025, but I think it could be like a 2 or a 3.
But you gave up your 2 already in 2025.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're 2 in 2025.
I know you gave that up.
That's
you
gone.
Gave that up.
Oh,
though.
Okay. Well, then it'd be your 3. There would be a sweetener of some sort. I just think that there's going to be too many teams because this quarterback class is seen. It's still, I think, going to be seen as some, not necessarily Purple Daily, as a big 3. I think it's a big 4 personally. Yeah. But, you know, this is where, and again, we don't know who's your target. Like if it's JJ McCarthy, that sort of changes the price of poker a little bit. Because now
you might only go up to 5, right?
Yeah, and now you're not talking. Now you're talking a trade that's probably very palatable. Because I asked Thor about that on Thursday yesterday about like what's the difference between going from 3 to 5, and he explained it, and it's a significant difference. Like going to 3, you are renting the penthouse. You're buying the penthouse downtown, you know, Manhattan where you are. It costs you a ton. The penthouse for 5? That's more like the penthouse downtown here.
It's like expensive. An extra, according to the Rich Hill draft value chart, the difference between the 3rd and the 5th pick is a 3rd round pick's worth of value, which is, I mean, that is a lot for mm-hmm. a 2-slot difference. Mm-hmm. It's worth an extra 3rd round pick. So maybe, yeah, I don't know. Let's get to a couple more feedbacks here and see what else we got in the bag. Some of these... We stockpiled some good stuff that kind of goes out the window with this trade today. But Brian North says, I feel as though this is the type of direction, like hunting for a new quarterback, that we as Vikings fans have not traveled down too often, with the exception of Teddy Bridgewater, of course. I realize fans, and heck, even Kevin O'Connell, that there's a bit of uncertainty now. But if they can draft their guy, which is a big if, this could be a direction that we as a collective fan base have yet to experience together outside of a brief Dante Culpepper run, all sort of behind the same young quarterback.
Yep.
I'm with you guys when you say stop assuming. I'm with Mackie, he says, when he says stop assuming everything is going to be terrible and think about the positive upside. And so that is the one thing that's been exhausting these last few days. We went from Cousins Crusaders to now I'm going to call them the Ponder PTSDers, where it's like, oh, now they're just going to draft the biggest bust, you know, whoever they draft is going to be a bust. Stop, you guys. Okay. There are so many great young quarterbacks in this league that teams have hit on. The Vikings could absolutely do the same thing. They could find their Josh Allen or whoever it is that they could find here, especially with the moves they're making. Like, they clearly have a vision for what they want right now.
Don't forget the fact that I'm pretty sure that there's a large faction of the Crusaders, though, who are trying to continue to throw a monkey wrench in the fans' dreams. So now they're like, well, Kirk's gone, you're screwed. And then they turn around and say, you all think that the Vikings are screwed. It reminds me of the, and this goes way, way back, but I think Phil has seen this one. It reminds me of the great episode on The Twilight Zone, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, where a very simple event turns the neighborhood against each other. And because people are just prone. It reminds me of that. Like, it's like, well, you better watch out now. You guys are all screwed. It's like, no, they're really not screwed. In fact, what they did was probably very smart.
Yes. Yeah. But it's like, let's, if you're a Ponder PTSD-er, stop dragging the rest of us down here, okay? Just take your little fear-mongering, your glass half empty, your, oh my God, your chicken little sky is falling.
Gotta take
it somewhere else.
Gotta take your shot, too. I agree.
Yep. Let's see here. Daniel from, okay. I think this might be the last Kirk Cousins-related topic that we touch on for a long time on this show. So we'll give it to Daniel from Iowa, and then there's one from Bob here. So this is just, you'll see why I'm reading these. This is a place for therapy. We are here for you, Cousins Crusaders, and Daniel from Iowa and Bob appear to have taken us up on this offer.
Okay.
So Daniel says, hey guys, as someone who was a Kirk fan, not a Cousins Crusader, but a Kirk fan, mm-hmm. I was hoping you could air my feelings about Kirk going to Atlanta. I do think Kirk has gotten better every year in Minnesota. He gave us a fighting chance in every game. So having defended him over the past several years, here's what I would like to say. F you, Kirk.
Whoa!
I'm never shopping at Kohl's again. Case Keenum did more for us than you ever did. I've been a loyal fan to you, and you couldn't be loyal to the fans of a franchise that was willing to give you more than $200 million in the end. Take your money, take your facade, and get the F out of here. Harrison Smith hasn't made a third of your money, but he is three times the man you could ever hope to be.
This is awesome.
Hitman will die one of us, and we will celebrate him in his honor in Vikings Valhalla forever. F your stupid chains, F your money, and F you, Kirk.
Wow.
Wow.
Mic drop.
Daniel. And then Bob chimes in here and says, one comment before we completely turn the page on Cousins. Watch his Falcons introductory press conference. I believe someday he will run for political office. He seems to be cagey and slimy, which are prerequisites for politics. His responses to reporters' questions makes you nauseated. I really wish the worst for him on the field next year. Wow. People are...
The political office thing is... I saw that note. I was intrigued by that. I don't know if that's altogether wrong, to be honest.
He'd be a great politician.
I should see him being a politician.
You know, putting on that.
As far as I could tell, now I didn't see the very introduction part because I don't think the Falcons website streamed it, but I watched the entire presser. He ran the whole thing himself.
Oh yeah, he's been running everything for
But I mean,
the last 6 weeks.
You know, it was smooth as could be. So,
hey, we have a lawyer Chase ruling, gentlemen.
Yep. Oh, good.
Chase. We have a lawyer Chase ruling here. So I'll just read from Lawyer Chase from the Write That Down. I don't know if it's controversy, but just we needed some clarification on a couple Write That Down things this week. And Lawyer Chase says, to begin with, he's got another, just a different thing here. He says, Declan and Judd's predictions are not touchdowns from this week. Judd's prediction was about two veteran players, Eric Kendricks and Patrick Peterson, who almost surely would get cut. Mm-hmm. And Declan's prediction was a two-item parlay. We said it was a chunk play. That seemed more likely than not to occur, despite its specific nature. Both predictions failed to be risky enough to be a touchdown. Now to the pressing issues. Nick and Phil's questions. Should they both be off the board? When analyzing a prediction, interpreters look only at the prediction's plain language and ordinary meaning within the four corners of accountability session on the board. Mm-hmm. A prediction is judged with outside context only when it is too ambiguous to determine its meaning. So Nick said, Kirk Cousins will sign a new long-term contract of 4 years or more and will retire a Viking. In this case, Nick's prediction does not come off the board. Nick's prediction clearly breaks into two parts. It first requires that Kirk Cousins will get a new contract that unrelatedly he will retire as a Viking as well. They do not relate as if to read Kirk will get a new contract with the Vikings and end his career on such contract. Second, Phil's prediction that Russell Wilson would be a Steeler by week one of the 2024 season is conditioned with the language by week one. This condition plainly means that it will occur no later than this date. In other words, it is a deadline rather than a specific date for the event to occur on. Judd cannot argue Nick's prediction outgains the system. It still needs another event to occur to be correct, and an unlikely one at that, even at the time of predicting. So there you go.
All right. I thought Nick's prediction, I thought is, I could see what he meant in his heart. So that's just how I am, though. I could see what he meant.
Lawyer Chase says, a side note, tell Miles Gorham from Purple Daily on Draft to hit me up if he needs a teammate for flag football. I make a mean safety in flag football. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work. Thank you, right. Lawyer Chase. Yes.
Love Lawyer Chase.
Always helpful to have the
legal
ruling
counsel.
When
Absolutely.
We need it here.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Let's see here. I'm trying to find the questions that are still relevant after that trade here. How about this one? Mohammed M. says, it's been proven year after year that drafting a quarterback is a crapshoot. We have no idea which of the top four quarterbacks this year will pan out. It seems in any scenario to trade up, we likely have to give up a 2025 first rounder, which might be different now. Why would we consider giving up draft capital to move up? We are officially rebuilding now, so it is very possible we end up in the bottom of our division in 2024 and possibly a top 10 pick in 2025. Why would you want to give up a top 10 pick in 2025 in a trade up for this year's quarterback class? We've seen Carolina take the approach of trading up, and it definitely set them back. So I would say a couple things. I don't think the Vikings are rebuilding. I don't classify this as a rebuild.
Well, yeah, a rebuild to me means you've torn the whole thing down, and purging yourself of veterans is not tearing it down necessarily. Purging your roster is. So I would be inclined to agree. I think the Vikings are definitely changing the chess pieces out, and they started for sure last offseason. The other thing, though, is, okay, Carolina to me, because, yeah, let's take Carolina and the Vikings. And I would argue this. Part of what makes drafting a quarterback a crapshot is where you put the quarterback into from an organizational standpoint. If you're drafted, you know, Bryce Young didn't have any help around him. He was basically set up to fail. The New York Jets have drafted a litany of quarterbacks who were set up to fail. If you trust that Kevin O'Connell knows what he's doing, then my argument would be that you're going to provide this quarterback with an infrastructure that's going to give him an advantage. You know, that's the difference. I feel like we just sometimes look at where QBs, or we just look at the QBs that get drafted and pass judgment without any view on why they might have had success or failed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that Kevin O'Connell's good at what he does, and I will say this, he's got faults, but the dude took Kirk Cousins from what I thought was a stat stuffer to a pretty damn good QB whose stats in 2023 or in 2022 regressed, but he was a better quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I think far too often we judge the quarterbacks as if it's all on them.
So Trevor Simpson chimes in the YouTube comment section and says, no, this is wrong. Trey Lance went to San Francisco and failed, presumably. So, Trevor, you're going to use one outlier example of a young quarterback failing to take off in a great infrastructure to disprove the notion that having a great infrastructure elevates a lot of young quarterbacks? You're going to use one outlier example? You're saying that, like, you take a field full of young quarterbacks, and if you could like compare the same quarterback across different infrastructures, which we can't, obviously. Tom Brady, take him off the Patriots 20 years ago, put him over with, you know, the Jets or somebody. Sam Darnold, take him off the Jets, put him over with the 49ers. I think we would all agree that having better infrastructure, better coaching, better organization, better weapons is going to help a young quarterback reach whatever his peak is. It didn't happen with Trey Lance. It doesn't mean that the original notion isn't true. It's not 100% either way. So stop using outlier examples of, well, Trey Lance failed. Okay. Christian Ponder failed. Right. But, like, there's a lot of examples of guys that thrived. Brock Purdy thrived because he was in a great infrastructure.
And I'm not saying Ponder was good, but let's back up again. Let's look at his infrastructure at the time. He had a defensive coach who was a great guy, but he didn't have a great coaching staff. He was taken by a guy that really didn't understand as well as he probably should have quarterback play. That's the point about O'Connell was hired for this. Like, this is his moment. If Kevin O'Connell can't succeed here, then he has no future as a head coach in this league. Quarterbacks are his thing. So that's what I'm saying is the Vikings are trying to, through these moves, they're trying to establish an infrastructure. You know, we don't know about Kirk. If Zimmer had embraced Kirk and been an offensive guy, right? Could have been different. We don't know that. That's what I'm saying. It's the environment in which you're placed, which has to at least be somewhat talked about, as opposed to so-and-so went here and he was a failure. Shows the quarterbacks you don't know. Well, there are certain variables, at least, that you give the guy a fighting chance, I think.
Yeah. And it is random. Drafting quarterback is random. And to all the points Judd's laying out, well, Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback whisperer, and he couldn't get that out of Trey Lance. And they move on from Trey Lance, and they're just fine. They gave up all that capital. They whiff big time on Trey Lance, and guess what? They're just fine.
But that, like, to that 49ers point that and the Shanahan point, everyone wants certainty when it comes to football and drafting, right? So Shanahan was unable to unlock Trey Lance, but he was able to unlock Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl. He was able to unlock Brock Purdy. Just because Kyle Shanahan was unable to unlock Trey Lance doesn't mean he's not one of the great quarterback, you know, whisperers in the NFL. But there's nothing is 100% certainty. So, all right, boys. Wow. That's a wrap on this Feedback Friday here. So much more to come in the next few days here. So for tomorrow's Saturday Checkdown episode, we see and hear your questions about Justin Herbert, but it warrants its own sort of chunk. So there's a fire sale happening with the Los Angeles Chargers. Jim Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy, by the way, and the Chargers have the 5th overall pick. Would it be feasible at all for the Chargers to trade Justin Herbert and or for the Vikings to acquire Justin Herbert? We'll do that episode for the Saturday Purple Daily. But thank you guys for hanging out with us. If you haven't already, click that like button and the subscribe button on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. And you can also help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify to grow the audio side. You guys had this podcast charting 11th for much of the week. I think I haven't looked this morning, but it's been 11th for like 3 consecutive days on the Apple National Football Podcast charts, ahead of The Rich Eisen Show and one slot behind Bussin' with the Boys Barstool. So that's awesome. Thank you, guys. Vikings have 2 first-round picks now. LFG, boys. LFG.